Okay, since Zach is still a full-fledged member of our Shia, he's probably listening to the Shia listens every day, so wish him a mazel tov on behalf of, he just had a baby boy this morning. Mazel tov to Uncle Leo. We have a major simchas. Okay, Kiddush. We don't have a minig. We have a minig to dance for Chassan. We don't really have a minig. We haven't been kaveh a minig, what you do when you have babies in the shir. So we'll just leave it at that. Okay. I think we danced with my grandchildren. I think one of my grandchildren, I think, was born. I think we had a shir rikud at one point. Okay. Okay, we have one last akuda of the sugya, and then we'll see. Maybe we'll get a chance to get started to the next sugya as well. But just to recap, so we have this notion of hezchadas. It took us a little bit of time to fine-tune what exactly constitutes hezchadas, whether it's a tilis yadayim, whether it's a siluk, whether it's a goma, whether it's a goma baliba, a lot of different variations, havlam for the barechs, and the foods and drinks. And then we have the second issue of the sugya, is that once we've assessed that we have reached that threshold of Eschadas, therefore what? Does that necessitate only a new Bracha Rishon, or perhaps even as a Mechayev of Bracha Chron? Again, we saw the pros and cons, different rayas from yesterday. But there was another kudah that the Gemara told us in passing about a story about it with two of the Amorim eating by the Reish Galusa, and although they cleared off their table, that did not qualify as Eschadas, because they were relying on the Reish Galusa's table. So as long as the Reish Galusa hadn't cleared off his table, they're still good to go. So comes Tosus and says, listen, we're living in France now in the 1100s. We don't have too many Reish Galusas. But we have a potential application of this principle, something which has nothing to do with the case per se, but it's a similar understanding, similar reasoning, and may have some implication for us l'maisa. And that's where our sugya begins, the end of our sugya begins. And that's Tosus and the 12th of Rav HaKomis and Membezim and Aleph. Misha shochach lechol afikomod. The person is supposed to be eating the afikomen. Why is he supposed to eat the afikomen? Because that's what it says in the Seder. Shulchan oirech tzofun. So he's supposed to be sitting and eating the afikomen. And he forgot. He forgot to eat the afikomen. And why is the world going to come to an end because he forgot to eat the afikomen? We're not even sure why he's eating the afikomen in the first place. B'shteit in the Torah to eat afikomen. I mean, we all know what the Gemara says. Everybody knows the Gemara in the end of the Seder. Of course, you have to eat afikomen. That's what it says in the Haggadah. But why? And so I think we spoke about this in the past. The Chalik's Meshbam and the Rosh, did we mention this in passing at one point this year? Okay, we'll add this to our list of Avri Psochem sugyas that I learned in Kesem. I told you, by the time the Lila Seder comes around, you guys are going to be holding an Avri Psochem better than in Kesem of Archid. So come to Rishon, I have a major Machlekes. Why in the world are you eating Afikomen in the first place? So comes the Rashbam and says, I'll tell you why you're eating Afikomen. Because it says in the Chumash, Be'er of Teich L'Matzes. You're supposed to eat Matzah on Pesach night. That's why you eat Afikomen. I ate matzah like 3 hours ago by Mitzvah Matzah, says the Rashbam. No, that's not the real mitzvah of Achilas Matzah. Achilas Matzah, Bezman Shebez Mikdash Rekayim, would be done at the same time that you were eating the Korban Pesach. According to Hillel, it was being done literally at the same time. Mamish had the same sandwich. According to those who disagreed with Hillel, it wasn't in the sandwich, but it was one after another. At what point in the Leil HaSeder was the mitzvah Achilas Korban Pesach? We all know. When did he eat the Korban Pesach? I was saved at the end of the meal. And we'll get to a little bit later. It's going to impact us in a moment, why that was even the case. So comes the Rashbam at the end of Pesachim and says that since Bezman HaMikdash, they ate the matzah together with the Korban Pesach at the end of the meal, so when we eat our matzah in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash, we're also going to eat it at the end of the meal. That's waiting, Afrika, to fulfill the mitzvah derayis, you have tachal matzahs. So why did you eat matzah beforehand? I'll tell you, very simple. You know why? Because you want to wash. Well, you can have challah. What exactly? Well, pizza. What were you going to eat instead? So you want to wash to start your Suda's Yom Tov. You want to enjoy your meal. So immediately you have to have a piece of matzah to give you the meal. But that's not really the mitzvah, says Rashi. Nobody's thinking of mitzvah at that point. So all those people who are sitting around by the Seder and the Hinni Mucham Zumans and the Shem Yichuds and the Oil Masal Yayinim and they're thinking about Yitzhak Mitzrayim, says Rashbam, relax, save it for later. Save it for the Afikoman. That what you're doing is garnish. You just have making a mitzi. So then Rashbam says, but we all know that, says the Gemara, when do you make an Alechilas Matzah? You make it at the beginning. So says Rashbam, scratch your heads, wait a second. If I just told you that the real emes of matzah is the matzah at the end, that's the berftech matzahs, and you're just eating at the beginning just because you have nothing else to wash on, so why in the world are you reciting an alachnas matzah now? So the Rashbam makes reference to a Gemara in Masechet Pesachim that talks about a similar, not identical, but similar dilemma of a fellow who's about to do karpas, because as I state to the Mishnah, you're supposed to do karpas, with tava b'chazeres. So Chazal instituted that you have to do karpas, kadesh yishal atinokis. Whether they made it into a formal mitzvah sachila midrabon or not, we spoke about this, because the Rambam and the others. The Rambam says you have to mamshid kazayis the karpas, and most of the Rishayim say you don't have to, and maybe you shouldn't even. But lemais, you have to have karpas, as I state to the Mishnah, tava b'chazeres. So the guy's about, he's looking around, scrounging around for a vegetable to find for karpas. What's his problem? Can't find anything. There are no potatoes, there's no celery, there's no cucumbers, there's no green peppers, there's a garnish, there's nothing. There's only one thing. What's the one thing he's got? More, he's got romaine lettuce. No big deal. He'll eat that. It's a vegetable. Metal b'chazer, it's a yerek, it's shayirakos, right? So that's okay. You can make a bracha, you can make karpas and shayirakos. So it's a yerek. So he'll take a piece of moro, and he'll make a bird priyadom and shoin. And then what's going to happen 3 hours later when he gets to moro? He's going to say, "Belev shalem, asher kiddushal mitzvah lachilas moro," which that's the MS, because you're not supposed to eat moro for the mitzvah earlier. The Torah says, "Matzah b'mechlu." Moro is supposed to follow the matzah, presumably. So now we're a little bit of a pickle here. No pun intended. If you had a pickle, he'd be better shape. He's a little bit of a pickle. Always got his romaine lettuce. So he's going to make a bird priyadom. He's going to eat romaine lettuce, not really being yetzim maror, and then 3 hours later he's going to make an achlis maror. So what's the Gemara's tain against that? Who remembers? What was Rav Chisda's taina? Yacha shemilai what? Kreisa behem yachsa bivarchalav. You just filled yourself up with azad deluxe salad from Sammy's of romaine lettuce. You ate 16 tons of romaine lettuce. You're mali kreisa. You got to eat a lot of romaine lettuce to be full. You just ate romaine lettuce. You just ate maror, and now you're going to say with a straight face, alachilas maror. So what's the idea? Of course, why not? What's the big deal? So I ate more, but I wasn't yaitzim moror. So Rav Chisda said, no, that's a problem. That's upside nimtze shakben shtickle. It doesn't sit right. It doesn't bode well with asluchas brachas that after you did the ma'isa mitzvah of moror, even though you weren't yaitzim moror, at the end of the tachshi you weren't yaitzim moror. There's a state in the Gemara that once you made a bracha, once you ate the moror, you can't turn around an hour later and make achilas moror. Therefore, we're going to tell you to do something bizarre. We're going to tell you to recite an alachilas moror. Even though I'm going to whisper into your ear, what? You're not Yotze. It's not Mara. Mara's later, and that's okay. That's all right. It's better to do that than to be Le'achah Shabila Kreso, Yachsev Yivarach. It's a Machlek Zamarayim, that's how we pass in Allah. Machlek Zavun Rav Chisda, we pass in that's the din. So comes the Rashbam and says, if so, we have the same dilemma when it comes to the Mitzvah Matzah. Because we all know that the Mitzvah Matzah is supposed to be performed at the end, like the coming Pesach. That's the real McCoy. But we're stuck and we have to take Nebuch a piece of matzah at the beginning of the Seder. So we're going to make a moitzi. Our hands are tied. We have to make Achilas matzah also. And that's why, says the Rashbam, why we make Achilas matzah at the beginning of the Seder. Not to be into the mitzvah, because otherwise it will be La'acha Shemila Kreisa Matzah Yachsev Yivarech Alav. That's how the Rashbam viewed the Seder. So according to the Rashbam, when you get to Tzofun, what's supposed to happen? What's your mindset when you get to Tzofun? According to Rashbam, you got to wake up. What do you have to have in mind? This is it. This is the moment of truth. We've been waiting for the entire year for the mitzvah der Eisach Nas Matzah. You just ate matzah 3 hours ago. That wasn't matzah. That was Sudas Yantar. That wasn't matzah. You made an Allah Echilas Matzah. That's meaningless. That's the Rashbam's version of the Seder. So most people don't think of the Lehla Seder that way. Most people's mindset of the Lehla Seder is the real, all the Kavanas and Al-Hidni Mucham Zumans, or at the beginning, and Afikoyman is, you know, kind of just, you know, so before we get to Echem Yodem Chagad, we'll eat a little bit of Afikoyman. So where did that come from? That's the Rush's version. Most assumed against this Rishbam. We don't really assume like this Rishbam. We assume probably like the Rush, that when you eat to the mitzvah der Eitz Mechelas Matzah, when you eat the first piece of matzah, the lowest thing, when you do that, begin the meal, that's Al-Chelas Matzah. That's the rice. We eat some the rice. You can rest assured we eat with the rice. So why in the world does the Gemara say you have to eat matzah at the end of the meal? It's up to Rosh. Because bizman shabes mikdash ayakayim, they would eat the Karim Pesach at the end of the meal. Kadesh yeh nechal ala saiva, for whatever reason. We don't know why, but kadesh nechal ala saiva. So therefore, midrabbanon, after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, Chazal instituted to eat a piece of matzah at the end of the meal. You don't really need that matzah. Erev matzah is over. As a zeichel mikdash, zeichel to the kizayis of Korban Pesach. So when you eat that kizayis of afikoyimin, according to the Rush, you're not eating it alts the mitzvah achilas matzah. You're eating it alts the zeichel of Korban Pesach. So it's the same piece of matzah, but a legamri, different kavan, a different mahalach legamri. So according to the Rashbam, the first kizayis is garnish, the second one is the deraisa. According to the Rashbam, according to the Rush, the first kizayis is everything, and the second one is a zeichel mitzvah drabon al zeichel mikdash. Should this machlokes impact in terms of when one eats the afikoman? So Yaduam Mefursam, there was a famous machlokes, this is just the introduction to Tosfos. Yaduam Mefursam, there was machlokes atanoim in Maseches Brachos, in Maseches Psachim, Maseches Zevachim, between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. When is the sov zman of achilus korban Pesach? Because the Torah says, v'ochlos abosa balayla hazeh. So what does balayla, what do the words mean? So according to Pshuta Shemik, that means the whole night. When does the night end? It's the end of the night. Allah says shachar. So that's the simple pshat. The boss, ochlos abosa balayla zeh zeh shemat zebarim yichlu. So comes Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and says, no, balayla zeh doesn't mean the whole night, because after all, in the context of Yetzias Mitzrayim, we know that the word layla zeh means part of the night. Ravarti b'eretz Mitzrayim balayla hazeh. When did that take place? It didn't take place at 3 o'clock in the morning. It didn't take place a minute before Allah says shachar. That happened at chatzoy salayla. So comes Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and reads the puzzle like this. You have to eat the meat of the korban pesach on this night until when? Until the moment of chatzos. And once the chatzos, the game's over. There's no mitzvah of achilas korban pesach afterwards. And Rabbi Akiva turns to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and says, no, it's not true. V'chalta moseh b'chipazoin pesach u'lashem. What does that mean, b'chipazoin? How do you translate that? How would you translate that phrase? What does chipazoin mean? Haste. Haste of who? Who's hasty? What did you just read? Pashup Shah, Pashup Chumash. What does it mean? Who's rushing? At 2 o'clock in the morning, who's rushing? It's 3 o'clock in the morning, where are you going? No one's going anywhere. They weren't going to leave until when? They weren't going anywhere at 3 o'clock in the morning. They weren't even allowed to. They said they're ice, they weren't allowed to go out of the streets. So no one was budging until Allah Shachar. Etem lo say ishad ad baikir. Baikir means Allah Shachar. So Kupja Bekibin says, v'chalt mosab chipozin means ad shas chipozin. And what does Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah respond back to Rabbi Akiva? He also read the pasuk. What does chipozin mean? Klal Yisrael were very, very relaxed. They were sitting back, enjoying themselves, enjoying the barbecue. I was at a chasana last week. And at the smorgasbord, they were serving roasted lamb. I just had a yetzer just to eat it. I just wanted to know what I'm missing for the korban pesach. It was very, very good, I must say. The Sefer Chinuch writes that one of the reasons why the Torah says to have tzliyesh is to be like kederach hamalachim, kederach hasorim. It's a very, very fancy, you know, spishmak. It wasn't just like a shwam rikolan for, you know, 15 bucks. It was real McCoy. It wasn't Rosh HaKrov HaKirboi, but it was still a good piece. Okay, anyway, back to the story. So, the Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah apparently understood that the mitzvah were in haste right now. They were trying to get one out. Lamala Shachem and Aretz. So the mitzvah are banging on their doors by Chatzos. You got to eat it until Chatzos. After Chatzos, you're ready. The game's over. So b'chayk is that tenon. B'chayk is Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Who is the Rabbi Akiva who's arguing Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah? The regular Rabbi Akiva, right? The hailing Rabbi Akiva. So why am I mentioning that? What? Because years ago, when I first got married, I used to teach halacha Shir and Stern one night a week. So sometimes I taught a Shabbos, sometimes I taught some other stuff. So one year I was teaching something part of what I was teaching was about the Leil HaSeder. So I mentioned to the girls the machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, because that's going to impact on when the latest time you can finish a Seder. So I asked that question on the final to discuss the different times for when the Seder ends. Give me the whole background. So one of the girls wrote, it's machlokes between Rabbi Lozer ben Azai and Rabbi Kiva Eger. I gave credit. Ms. Dalton, you know the famous fire that took place in my living room? You don't remember? Ask your wife about it. I think your daughter took a final of mine in my living room. She was in my class, right? Was it? I think so, right? Right? So if I'm not mistaken, the last one final, there was a whole snow. It was a blizzard. Half the girls couldn't make it to the final, and they had to take it like privately. We needed proctors or something. I don't know what the whole story was. So I think that their office approved if your daughter took it in my house, if I'm not mistaken. Double check with your wife. I think if I'm not mistaken, I have this image of like a snowstorm or something, and your wife sitting on my couch, and you're like sitting at my table, and we live in the Heights, and taking a final. So I don't think she was one who wrote Rabbi Kivega, but I think if I'm not mistaken, I think so. Double check for me on that one. Okay. Anyway, back to our story. So how do we pass in this machlekes? When's the last time to eat the Korban Pesach? So the Rishonim have a machlekes. Some Rishonim pass in like Rabbi Kivega, some Rabbi Kiva, some pass in Rabbi Zayich. It's machlekes of Rishonim. So we pass in Shulchan Aruch to try your best to eat the Korban Pesach before Chatzos. You don't need to go Korban Pesach. We don't have Korban Pesach today. So the Gemara says in the end of Masechet Pesachim that according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azari, who says that midaraisa you're not yotzi after Chatzos, who adinab you're not yotzi matzi after Chatzos. Midaraisa, because matzah and pesach, matzah and rechlu. According to Rabbi Akiva, who says that minatari can eat korban pesach after chatzos, maybe with rabbanon you can't, the gezeira, noisa, whatever it is, but lemaisa, mikra didn't really can. So according to many Rishonim, according to Rabbi Akiva, Yitaka can eat matzah after chatzos. That's how we pass in Shulchan Aruch. It's a sfeik in the dinim. We're not sure. In order to fulfill the mitzvah deraisa of matzah, must be done before chatzos. Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Rishonim, one should be very, very careful to eat afikomen before chatzos. Why is that? If you hold, like the Rashbam, that the Afikomen is the Iker Mitzvah Zechilas Matzah, you're crazy to have Afikomen Chatzos. You're potentially losing a Mitzvah Deraisa. And even if you don't like the Rosh, who says that, the Mitzvah Deraisa you're ready, Yaitse, but according to the Rosh, why did Chazal institute Afikomen? Al Zeicha Tawa? Pesach. So if the Koran Pesach, according to half the Torah, half the Rishonim, has to be before Chatzos, you better turn the world upside down to eat the afikomen before chatzos as well. So lemaisa shulchan aruch, it doesn't matter how you slice it. It doesn't matter whether you hold like Rabbi Elazar ben Azai, like Rabbi Akiva. It doesn't matter if you hold like the Rashbam, whether you hold like the Rosh. According to Rabbi Akiva, it wouldn't be so bad. But since we don't know how to paskin, therefore shulchan aruch says, no matter what, turn the world upside down to eat the afikomen before chatzos. Whether that means you have to finish the whole set of chatzos, that's a different story. Not for now. So getting back to that story. So the bottom line is, afikomen is important. Whether it's important in the worldview of the Rashbam, important in the worldview of the Rosh, it's pretty important. It made it to the Kaddish Urchat song, Uncle Moshe, so you got to do it. You got to eat the afikomen. So comes the Tosis and said, I forgot to eat afikomen. And now, the Omer Havlo Vinevorich. And he says, okay, guys, let's go, let's bench. So what would you do at that point? So I'd say, oh yeah, you have to eat afikomen. But you just said half of an avarin. So again, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, what would Rabbeinu Yonah say about this shaila? A guy said half of an avarin. What would he say? He say, who cares? Half of an avarin. What half of an avarin is anything? Half of an avarin is dinin yayin. What's going to do with lechem? But this is Taisa speaking. So Taisa said the mere recitation of half of an avarin is a disaster. So says Taisa, it's not so bad. You know what? In his chadas. Catch this phrase. The anan atocha derachamana samchino. On Pesach night, we're not our own balabatim. We are guests. We're guests of who? The Ribbono Shel Olam. And therefore, if the Ribbono Shel Olam didn't say the meal's over, it ain't over yet. On a regular Tuesday night, when I say Avlon Nevarach, I'm the balabos. So I'm in the meal. Hech chadas. Up at Pesach night, because we have to eat the afikomen, either kontra Rashbam or the Rosh. The Maisa, the din is you have to eat afikomen. So therefore, what you said of Havlo Mevorach does not constitute a Heschadas. Where do we find such a concept that the saying of the words don't register if you're not the balabas? That's a tachat the Reish Kalusa. So Tosfos made this equation between the Reish Kalusa and the Ribbono Shel Olam. So Shteit and Tosfos. Now be honest. There are other Rishonim who said they never heard of this equation. The Torah quotes it, the Rav Yoah quotes it, his father, the Russians. They say, come on. Well, come on. This is a cute. But in Shulchan Aruch, we pass this Taisus. That we do accept this Chiddush of Taisus.
Would he send that to
Maimon Chorin
also?
Oh, so Maimon Chorin gets really, really super duper tricky, right? Who's going to fill in the gaps to answer that question? So if you hold the Maimon Chorin, it's just a simple Hezchadas kind of story, so then what would you say? Well, Taisus just said, it's not called Hezchadas because you're not the Balabas. But if you hold like who? Rabbeinu Yonah, who said that Maimon Chorin is much more than just Hefzik, because Maimon Chorin kicks in what? Kicks in a din of techef in the Netilah Bracha, so there's no way in the world you can just go back and start eating at that point. Remember, Rabbeinu Yonah held, even making a bracha is not going to help you. So I don't think Rabbeinu Yonah would say it by Netilah Sidayim. Now again, I didn't say we pass it like, remember the Mishabur yesterday was Machariah halfway like Rabbeinu Yonah. He says that, yeah, it's a terrible thing, the washing of Bayim Achronim is a big Machmir, but what can you do to rectify it? Eat some more. But if you hold pure Rabbeinu Yonah, then you're talking a pickle. Yeah.
To me, it's not even
fair
that
Tosfos
would say
Yeah, I don't think Tosfos doesn't hold like Rabbeinu Yonah.
No, I'm saying he wouldn't say that this din works.
Yeah, I think Tosfos would. Tosfos would say that Atachat Rachamana works for everything. Tosfos holds that Maimon Chorin is the same kind of as Chadas, like anything
else.
Nah, because that's because the Gemara didn't get to the punchline yet of Leisach Tzuchalani Shmai. So once we accept La Halacha that the real cutoff is either Havlam V'Nevarach or Mai Machronim, so those are just Hezchadas that are not subject to Tachad Rechmonis.
So it's only the Mai Machronim of the Balabas?
Maybe. I'm not sure. So Tais continues. V'im Shachachu Birech. So now the guy, Lagamri, forgot, and he benched already. So now it's going to be a big pain in the neck. Because what does he have to do now? This is a royal hassle. What does he got to do?
Wash.
Got to wash again, make him a lemotzi, and then do what? Bench again. The guy's exhausted. Ain't so chlach, so says, you don't have to. The chol matzos l'shem mitzvah asuyos. Because all the matzos that we eat anyway at the Seder are all good anyway. So it's good enough for Rafi Koyman. So you ate the afikomen. What do you mean? You ate the afikomen. Zolzani ate the afikomen. Everyone's okay with this thesis?
It's only okay according to one day in the
Rashbam's
Rosh.
You mean all the guy wasn't having in mind to eat the matzah? According to the Rosh, it's a little easier to swallow this Taisus, maybe. But I have a big problem with this Taisus. I have multiple problems with this Taisus. What's my biggest problem with this Taisus? I just want to go back to this guy's saying here. So he washed Betzi Matzah, made Achiz Matzah. Let's look at this through the eyes of the Rosh. That we don't take Afikomen as seriously as the Reshbam. So he ate motzi matzah. He was yaitzed mitzvah isaac of aldik beridik. He had his mar, he had his kerech, he ate his eggs. They brought out the salad, they brought the chicken, they had the kugel. And what was he doing during the course of the meal? He was munching a little bit more matzah. And then clear off all the food, they bring out some dessert. He totally forgets about suffering. Starts benching, finishes benching. By goodness gracious, we forgot to look at the Maxwell House Hagon. It said we're supposed to do tzofim. We forgot to eat tafikomen. So Tosfos says, don't worry about it. It's okay. It's on the house. You know why? Remember that piece of matzah you were munching on when you were eating your soup and your kugel and your salad? It's a bit diavad. That was the tafikomen. Why? Because after all, the matzah was also made the shema. It was also made the shema matzah. No problem. No big deal. So first of all, mitzvah kavanah, that's a big problem. Not as big as a problem. So the Shulchan Aruch, I'm not so worried about. Because the Shulchan Aruch happens to know that matzah doesn't really need kavana, yeshiva hanor, whatever, maybe. But I got a bigger problem. What's a big problem? Yeah, it's the Mishnah. It's the whole sugya in the end of Maseches Pesachim. The last daf Maseches Pesachim. The Mishnah says, Ein maftirin achar Pesach. After you finish eating the Korban Pesach, you're not allowed to eat any other food. So the Mishnah says, Ein maftirin achar Pesach. What are you not allowed to eat after the Korban Pesach? What's the word that the Mishnah uses? Afikomen. What does afikomen mean there? It's a strange misuse of a word that we've adopted. The word afikoman in the Mishnah is a bad thing. Namely, when you finish eating your Korban Pesach, don't you dare and eat afikoman. Afikoman means dessert. The Gemara says it's basically a Greek word, but it's a little bit of a mishpos of Lashon HaKodesh, also of an Aramaic a little bit. It's like afiku, to bring out. Flesh, like to bring out more food. So after you finish eating the Korban Pesach, don't bring out dessert. That's what basically what the Mishnah says. So what do we do? Chayisol took the Greek word, I forget, what do we do with it? And the matzah that we eat at the end of the meal, we call it what? It's cute. We call it afikoman. That's the worst thing to call it. That's what the Mishnah says. That's what we call it. So we made up a new word. Afikoman is a good thing. And we may even make little bags with it. We embroider on it, afikoman. We have kids running around stealing it, but that's the worst thing. You're not supposed to eat afikoman. So the Mishnah says, after you eat the Korban Pesach, you're not supposed to eat any food afterwards. And then the Gemara has the Shaila, does that didn't carry over Bizman HaZeh, when we don't eat Korban Pesach, we only eat matzah at the end, because either again the Rishpam or the Rosh, we're eating matzah at the end. Does that din of Ein Ochlen, Eim Aftir Nachra, Pesach Afikoman, does that mean Eim Aftir Nachra, matzah Afikoman or not? And we seem to bask in that that's a problem. That the same way you're not allowed to eat after the Korban Pesach, you're not allowed to eat after what we call today the Afikoman, after that Kazayis Matzah Becharena. So, Adam Zintaisis. If the din is that afikoman has to be the last thing you eat by the Lela Seder, so what's Taisis giving you? Bumaisa, telling you a story that, no, the matzah you ate back 2.5 hours ago with your soup and your salad, that's the afikoman b'diyeb. But what does that mean? You ate chicken afterwards. You had sweet potato kugel and potato kugel afterwards. What's afikoman? So, what is Taisis clearly saying? Taisis was gotten good, they knew the Mishnah also. So, what did Taisis say? Obviously, Tosfos held that din of Eim Aftir Nachra Pesach Afikoman is not what? Is that what? No, but the Gemara says Eim Aftir Nachra Matzah. The Gemara quotes Machlokes, and the Pashas and the Sugya, the conclusion is there is a din Bezman HaZeh, Eim Aftir Nachra. The Baal HaTosfos in the regular circumstances didn't bring out dessert after the Afikoman. They didn't have Afikoman, and the women brought out chocolate chip cookies and part of ice cream. That's not what happened in the Seder of the Baal HaTosfos. They ate Afikoman like we do, and then they started to bench. So Taisus obviously understood that din of Eim Aftir Nachra Matzah Afikoman is not what? What's the word? It's not Magiv. Chatos Yavisi Pashad, I didn't have Eira. I ate after I ate the Afikoman. When you come to Yom Kippur and you come to your list, when you clap Ochef, look into Levana too much, you clap Ochef for that also. I always make fun of somebody, the Chayyadim was a whole list of different things, different Aveiras that should say, so in the list, you shouldn't look at the Levana too much. It's like, it's a pachisa covet for the shchi, whatever the reason is. You're not supposed to stare at them. You say it. You look at it, it's a kid, and shoy. So somebody told me once seeing this kid, this poor kid, high school kid. I went to regular high school, went there strong, flipped out a little bit. And he's just like, he's like so excited, Yom Kippur. It's like his first real Yom Kippur that he's really taking this vidui stuff seriously. And he's standing there and crying and clapping. Oh, Ibrani Shalom, Chatosi, Avisi, Pashati. I looked at the Levan. I looked at him, he's staring, he's screaming about the, like, come on, let's get real by saying. So the guy is clapping chatos if he's pashat, any after the afikoman. Big deal, says Taisi. After the afikoman, who cares? Not makiv anyway. It's not going to be mafato sign the afikoman, my friend. You ate afikoman when you ate the piece of matzah with the salad 2.5 hours ago. I ate a 6-course meal since then. I have been to 24-hour tea room since then. So what? But the average is still yaitse. I never said I could have a 24-hour tea room on Pesach night. I understand. After the Seder, it has to be closed. But Baruch Hashem, for the Brisker Rav, said you're allowed to drink tea after the Seder. So they only serve tea after the tea room, otherwise it's a chashash. Or they hold like they have the nezer, after chatzos, you can already, according to some, you can already start eating again. So some of that's the kavana. Okay, back to our mitzilahs in the tea rooms. Okay, back to our story. So, Taiz is clearly assuming that violating this din of Eim Aftir Nachra Pesach Afikoman is not going to make or break your Afikoman B'diyavit. Why is that? How does Tosfos know that so sure? What made Tosfos so convinced that that's the case? So it's hard to understand whether it should or should not be makir b'diyavet, whether it should necessitate a new afikoman. We don't even understand why the din is true in the first place. Why is it such a din? Why is it the din of Tir Nachar Pesach afikoman, and by extension, Tir Nachar Matzah? Like, who made that up? Where'd that come from? V'shteit b'chumash, Eim Aftir Nachar Pesach afikoman. So the Mishnah says that by Pesach, that's a given, everyone agrees. Finished, finito, end of story. And then the Gemara extends at the matzah. So The Gemara doesn't say it exactly. The Gemara says that Ein Maftir Nach HaPesach. You know why? Because you have to have Tam HaPesach B'Fiv. That's the reason why. You have to make sure you have Tam HaPesach B'Fiv. Why? Why is that so important to have Tam HaPesach B'Fiv? Like, why is that like the end of the world that you should have the last thing? You should go to sleep at night with that roasted lamb taste in your mouth. You know, when you were little kids, they all told you that because you have to remember Pesach the entire year. Didn't they tell you that? They didn't tell you that, yeah, because you have to remember and it has to make an impact on you. And give me a break. What's the real reason why? So the Rashbam says that the reason why Emaftir Nacha Pesach Afikomen, what's wrong with not having the Tam Pesach, eating more, is because that's going to detract from the din of Korban Pesach Nechal HaSoiva. You have to eat Korban Pesach HaSoiva. That's for sure. That's a Gemara. Korban Pesach has to be eaten HaSoiva. It means you're supposed to have, that should be the dessert. So if you're going to have Korban Pesach HaSoiva, and then you can go ahead and eat chocolate cake and vanilla ice cream afterwards, it's going to turn out that, what? Korban Pesach wasn't really HaSoiva. This is a farce. So the only way to ensure that you fulfill the din properly of eating Korban Pesach HaSoiva is to insist, to tell everybody there's no dessert afterwards. If everybody knows there's cake and Viennese tables and fruit cups and alle gute Sachen of gebrochs and non-gebrochs coming afterwards, so you can eat your Korban Pesach at the beginning of the meal and you're going to save up to have your Viennese table later. So we tell you, by the way, this is it, guys. That's it. The game's over. After this, you're going to sleep hungry. So you better make sure to fill up on the Korban Pesach because that's it. So the whole takana of Ein Maftir Nach HaPesach Afikomen, to make sure that the Tam Pesach is befiv, is to ensure that the din of Korban Pesach is nechal HaSoiva properly. That's what the Rashbam says. Which of course pushes back the question one step. What does it push back? Yeah, why is Korban Pesach nechal HaSoiva? We know that's not the Gemara's befiv. Why? Why do you have to do Korban Pesach nechal HaSoiva? So the Rashbam says, I'll tell you why. Because in general, korbanos have to be eaten in a very royal way. Torah says, if I skerach lemashcha, you need a sat lecha lemashcha. Lemashcha is not legedula, Chazal says. Torah says legedula. You have to eat korbanos in a covetic, a royal fashion. Kedar sham, alochem eichlem. So when you eat a korban, you don't eat it like you take a piece of the meat and you make yourself a hot dog out of it. No, you have to have a steak out of a korban. Out of a korban, it's got to be a geshmak. Kedar sham, alochem eichlem. So therefore, the Rashbam says, if you eat Korban Pesach Shlo LaSoiva, so you know what it's going to look like? You see, you're famished. Yeah. Just, you're shoving down the hot dog and the hamburger just to fill you up. You haven't eaten anything since lunch. Since you six slices of pizza, you know, in Lake Como a few hours now. You're in goal line. You're trying to shove down that burger, that Zadie's, chetzi, whatever you're eating. That's not Kedar Shabbalach HaMoichlim. But you know what Kedar Shabbalach HaMoichlim is? I ate dinner already. And that, I won't believe it. It's a special gourmet cuisine, straight from the Middle East. Roast lamb. Wow, geschmack. Kedar Shabbalach HaMoichlim, says the Rashba. And since the din of Lamashcha requires you to eat Kedar Shabbalach HaMoichlim, therefore Chazal said you have to eat a laseiva. And the only way to really ensure the laseiva is to tell you that you can't eat anything afterwards. It's all a key of the mitzvah derais of Kedar Shabbalach HaMoichlim. You know what the Rashbam says for good luck, by the way? There's nothing to do with Korban Pesach. It's true when you bring a Korban Shlomo, so also have to eat it Al HaSoiva. That's also be Kedar Shabbalach HaMoichlim. So Rashbam just like popped the balloon on Al HaSoiva. It's not doing a Korban Pesach. It's not doing a Korban Pesach. It's a Din HaZvachim, not a Pesachim. Korban Pesach happens to be one of those many, many Korbanos that has to be in Kedar Shabbalach HaMoichlim. And Tosis in Maseches Pesachim in the sixth verse says Lohayu Dvar Miyano. There's nothing to do. That's not one. Tosis Dov Abi Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says, you know, you have to eat Al HaSoiva, because if not, you're going to be very, very hungry. And if you get very hungry, what's going to happen? You're going to be attacking this piece of meat, and in the process of attacking the meat, and you are being famished, because you didn't eat lunch all day today. There was no food to eat in Erev Pesach. And if your house looks like my house, you probably haven't eaten when. By the last 3 weeks, because there's nothing to eat, you know, a couple of weeks before Pesach, everyone knows that. So you're probably starved. You're going to sit down and attack this piece of lamb. What are you going to do in the process? You're going to try to get every single piece out, including what? You start breaking the bones, you're going to shvir sam. That's what it's like. So the Rishalmi, Tosis quotes, claims that Chazal instituted b'derabbanan, you have to eat a lasoiva to avoid any violations of Shviras Etzim. That's why you eat a lasoiva. And therefore, they instituted, you need Tama Pesach Befiv. So you choose the Rashbam or Tosis. Now comes the Gemara Maseches Pesachim and says, oh, by the way, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash Nebuch B'zman Hazeh, so we don't have Korban Pesach anymore, but we have Matzah. We have matzah at the end, so Chazal instituted when you eat the afikomim. Remember, especially according to the Rosh, the afikomim is really zeich lepesach. So the same way that when it came to Korban Pesach, we insisted to eat it al asoiva, either because of the Rashbam's reason or Tosfos' reason. So now bezman achurban, bezman hazeh, we can eat the matzah at the end as well. So comes Tosfos and says, whatever it is, it's not ma'akiv. Don't worry about it. It's not ma'akiv. You blew it. It's still yaitzei. He's still yaitzei Korban Pesach, even Shalol HaSoiva. He's still yaitzei Matzah, even Shalol HaSoiva. There's another reason, by the way, why maybe you have to have Tam Pesach Befiv. A totally different reason. Kemechek Mizrach and Ma'ariv reason. Anyone know why? The Balamor? The Balamor is one of the most fascinating Balamors. Why you have to eat Korban Pesach? Well, why you have to have Tam Korban Pesach Befiv? Chazal were very, very afraid. What they're afraid of? Catch this, says the Balmor. Anyone remember, the Gemara says in Psachim that there was a big logistical problem when they brought Korban Pesach, when they ate Korban Pesach. You know what it was? What? It had to be eaten in Yerushalayim. It's Kachim Kalms. You can't bring it back to Bnei Brak. You have to eat it in Yerushalayim. And where in Yerushalayim does it have to be in? On the first floor. You can't eat it in your plaza, in your room upstairs in the plaza. You gotta come down to the dining room. Why? Because God must for Elias let us catch you. Because when you talk about Kedushas Makom of Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash, only the ground level had the Kedushas Makom. Your apartment in Rechavia, you know, on Barbanel on the sixth floor is not gonna do the trick. So can you imagine the logistical nightmare here? Everyone's trying to eat their Korban Pesach. And everyone's got to eat in the first floor apartments. Now, if I owned the first floor apartment in Rechavia at that point, I would jack up the price. I mean, that's like unbelievable, right? Rechavia is not even in the old Halachic Yerushalayim, in the old city. So you got to eat it on the first floor of Aish. You can't even eat it on the roof of Aish. For all it's worth, all the grandiose view of my good friend, Rabbi Steve Berg, it's no good. You can't even go to Pesach there. So it was a logistical nightmare. So the Gemara says, what they do? They used to take turns. Verse says that one group would start to eat the Korban Pesach on the first floor, and then when they finish eating the Korban Pesach, they would leave and let the next chever come in. Not like the Beis HaMikdash Shechita, this is the Achila. They would take turns. So what did the guys who ate the Korban Pesach do? When they were kicked out of the house, what did they do? Well, they started to finish the Seder, they said, I had to say hallo. So where did they go for hallo? Up on the roofs. So Gemara says that it was an amazing scene. You had shifts, multiple people eating Korban Pesach in the first floor, and everybody else going on the top floor to start singing hallel. So the Gemara says at the same time that they were eating kezesa, the pischa, how does the use the phrase? Kezesa be'ara uva halela, something or other. The Gemara has a phrase that one group was eating kezias on the floor, and the guys on the top, well, the roofs were breaking from all the sound and the bursting, all the excitement of hallel. What a scene, what a kevaldik of you. Unbelievable. Chazal described what it looked like. Thousands and thousands of people eating Korban Pesach and something halal. And my name, I am. That's what Yerushalayim looked like in its heyday. B'shas Korban Pesach. Besides all the Mamari Chazal describing what the Yerushalayim looked like, Bizman Bayesheni. So Havdil, Elof Alfe Alofim. So we have historians, there were Goyish historians, there were Greek historians, there were secular historians who wrote. I'm going to do with Josephus, he was Jewish, but there were Goyim who visited Yerushalayim, who saw Yerushalayim in its heyday and its glory, and there are written records from 2,000 years ago exactly what was going on in Yerushalayim. Afal Pichain. Somehow, still, people have the chutzpah shein kabayu of to deny that the Klal Yisrael were in Yerushalayim, Klal Yisrael were in Eretz Yisrael. Shakranim b'nei shakranim, shekev achazav through and through. Anyway, whatever it is. So back to that story. So here we have this beautiful glory of Yerushalayim and its heyday. And the Baal HaMor says there was a big problem. What the big problem was? Everyone's eating the Korban Pesach. They're finishing up the Korban Pesach, and then it's time for them to leave. So where do they go? They got to go up to the roofs. What do you think happened? Anyway, just like, fill me in. Just what?
They took the leftovers.
Well, they couldn't eat their food. They can't take the meat because you can't eat it in two places. So they go outside. So imagine the scene here. Okay, imagine the old city. You know, just think for a second. Okay, just look at this scene. People, everyone's eating on the bottom, and then they're coming out. They got a little fresh air. They go out to the Rova. All of a sudden, everyone's schmoozing a little bit. I catch up with friends. It's like tashlich. It's like a glorified tashlich, right? It's late at night. It's nice and, you know, it's cool already. It's 12:30 at night. You know, the women are relaxed already. They finish cooking. It's almost chatzos. And everyone's getting ready to go upstairs to halal. What do you think happens? Oh, I haven't said, oh, you came here for Yontif. Where are you staying for Yontif? I didn't realize you had just had a grandchild, Mazel Tov, you know. Everyone's catching up and they haven't seen each other. You know, it's like since visiting day, we haven't seen each other in camp. And it's been a whole year, we haven't seen each other. So it's like Shaitan Balibor. Everyone's schmoozing around. And you know what may happen? It gets ill. They get so excited to meet everyone. You know, they're just catching up on. Got to say hello. So the Ibn Chazal came up with an unbelievable way to remind you, don't you dare and go to sleep without saying hello. You know why? Because when it comes time to go to sleep, what's going to be in your mouth? That roast lamb. I can't get rid of that roast lamb. By the way. Oh, roast lamb. It's Pesach night. Gavalt! We forgot to say hello. But if you let everybody, eat dessert on Pesach night, what's going to happen? They're going to be out in the Rova schmoozing. And so once again, it's unbelievable. That, like these chocolate chip cookies, lo yaman ki yisupar. And they have potato starch. And the other say, really, they're potato starch? My wife made the almond flour, wasn't as good. The other's going to say, you guys are both losers. My wife made matzah milk. And then we don't eat kibrach. It's even bad. So there's going to be a lot of schmoozing. Everyone's going to, Pesach night? It sounds like a Sukkot night. Last time we were here, 6 months ago, was Sukkot. So no one's going to remember that it's Pesach night. They're going to forget to say, state the Balamo. I kid you not. The Ravid was the Baal HaMor's Chavrusa. So the Ravid has one line about this Baal HaMor. It was a joke. The Ravid writes, good humor. The Ravid writes, Hatam Hazeh, Ein Lo Tam V'Lereach. Now it's a joke because he's talking about the reason why you need Tam Korban Pesach. So he's saying, this reason for the Tam, this Tam for the Tam Korban Pesach is Ein Lo Tam. So it's Nishkan Tam, doesn't have any Tam. You could choose why the din is. But one thing Taisus says, one thing is crystal clear, says Taisus, Ma'akev is nisht. It's not going to ruin your day with the evidence. Therefore, if you're already benched, and now the guy is kvetchy, doesn't want to go back and wash and go make a mitzvah on the bench again, he's tired or he doesn't want to sleep, wants to sing howl and sing me'achem b'yodeh and chagaj and say shashirim and hit the sack because Shachris is at 9:45 tomorrow morning, missing his man Kriyashma. So just leave him alone. Let him go to sleep, says Taisus. It's too late already. It's all Zion. Rely on the matzah that you ate. That's what Taisus says. Maybe. We don't know. Not sure yet. Not sure. Don't know. So that's what Taisa says in Asugi. There's only one thing Taisa is very, very weary about. You know what Taisa says? Just make sure that you had some kind of matzah back there somewhere. That was what? That was what? That was good for what? For matzah. I.e. make sure it's what would we call it? Shmur matzah. Just make sure it's shmur matzah. Just be careful with shmur matzah. So Taisa says, oh, all are matzah shmur matzah, don't worry about it. Call a matzah shalashay matzah. You say mitzvah suyas. Nobody bakes matzah today, shalom shay mitzvah. So all are matzah is good. Now, that's a very, very loaded question. Taisa is not, this is a brachas. Taisa is not writing for a Pesach night. So other Mishnah pick up where Taisa left off. Wait a second, is that true? All are matzahs are good? All are matzah shmur matzah? So that's the second parak of Pesachim sugya. There's a major machlok is in the Gemara itself. What do those words mean? Your matzah was shmur matzah. Shmur from when? Who remembers? Who? So one opinion in the Gemara says that shmura has to take place at what point? At the earliest possible time when the matz can potentially begin to become chametz. The earliest time that the wheat can become chametz, that's when shmur kicks in. So let's say the grain is growing now in the middle of Nebraska. I have to have shmur. I have to have the mashkiach every morning and look at the grain and say, l'shem, I'm hereby watching it, l'shem, matzah's mitzvah. What is happening? It's getting wet anyway. Matzah, it can't turn to chametz when it's connected to the ground. So the only time that the mitzvah shmur kicks in is when the minute that it's detached from the ground, that's when trouble could start. That's when the din of shmur kicks in. That's called shmur mishas ketzira. Then the Gemara quotes another day and says, you don't need shmur mishas ketzira. You know when shmur begins? At the time when you really begin to mix in water. Not when theoretically water mixes in. When the mice mix in water. When is that? Lisha, the time of kneading. So it's machlekes in the Gemara. So most Rishonim paskid that probably mikra din shmur mishas lisha is good enough. And some disagree. Some say to mishas ketzira. Therefore, we don't take any chances. When we eat matzahs on Pesach night, we always eat shmur mishas ketzira. That's in big bold letters. Matzah, shmur mishas ketzira, avodas yad. The boxes are made by Shem Shabbos. People like everything in the whole nine yards. Everything is mishas ketzira. So Tosfos is probably alluding to the fact that that may be a chumah bialma, and it could be that the other matzahs on the table that you ate with your salad may have not been mishas ketzira. That's also okay. Probably that's okay also. If you really, really want to be makpah to make sure shas ketzira, then this game of Tosfos may not work. Tosfos says, you have to just figure out what you think your standards of matzahs was, and the man may not be suffice. But when you read this Tosfos, the bottom line is Tosfos being megal on you? Tosfos being a bit cooler. Tosfos saying, listen, you really blew it. Like you forgot to eat the matzah. If you would have just remembered before benching, you're just going to throw in another bracha, and maybe not even that because atacha the rachman and kaiman and good to go. But now that you totally blew it and you benched already, so you really have to go wash again. You got to go make a mitzvah again. You got to eat again. You have to buy it. So it's such a pain in the neck. I just forget about it. I was like, no, don't bother. I'm a firm guy. I don't want to lose out. Suffering. I want to go to three mishras and go ahead and do it. I don't have to, but is there anything wrong with doing it? Have anything to lose by doing it? Would you think you have anything to lose? What if you lose? Forget you're super from. Everyone else at the table is like, come on. We don't have to be so. We're not so religious. We're not so, we have a different, Tosfos said it's good enough, it's good enough for us. And the guy says, no, what do you mean? My Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael said that if I forget to eat matzah, this is a terrible cooler. This is for people who are mezalzel and mitzvahs. You got to go. We have to be firmer than Tosfos. We have to, is there anything wrong with that? What's wrong with it? I'll tell you. So comes the Mishnah and throw a curveball at us. No, you shouldn't do it. Don't go back and eat after you cover it again. What could be wrong with you having it again? What could be the possible problem? Anyone know? All of a sudden, listen to this one. You drank already three kosos. You made kiddush, the kos of the Gaul Yisrael, the other Nagal, the other Magid. You already benched. And now you're in a pickle because you have to wash again, eat kezayis matzah, and bench again. That benching again is going to necessitate what?
Another kos.
And then you can start halal, which is going to necessitate what?
Another kos.
So you just ended up with five koses. And that's a no-no. Arva koses tikkun chum, lo chumash. That's what's that five koses. Meisif ala koses, which may or may not be a concern. Yeah. Either because the Rashbam, that's the Rechila, according to the Rosh Zeichel, according to Pesach. So you have to eat the Kazayas. So you can't just get away with taking a crumb of Afikum. It doesn't have to be from the Afikum. Let's say, when I break a matzah, so I have 10 people to say it, I'm not going to have enough Kazayasim from a half matzah. So you have to be mashed with other matzahs. That's okay. You don't have to eat from the Afikum and from the special thing that was in the bag that had embroidered on Afikum. You can be Yotz Afikum with other matzahs also. So, come some Mishainim, the Torah quotes of Mishainim will say, no. Bad idea. Don't eat the Afikomen again, because that's going to necessitate being merciful cases. So Tais apparently wasn't so worried about that. Tais just says they tzarch. They never said there's anything wrong with it. So comes Mishnah Berurah now with the Chap. Comes Mishnah Berurah and says, but men devam amurim, that it's a concern of merciful cases. That's if you really truly believe that you have to bench again alakos. Says Mishnah, you don't have to bother. You don't have to bother benching again alakos. It's okay. Why is it okay? So there's a machlekes in the Gemara, machlekes at Tanoim in the Gemara, about whether Birchas HaBazon Tura Kais or not. There's one day in the Gemara that says that any and every time you bench, Tosis claims, even Yechidus, you have to bench Lakais. You have a slice of pizza, you have to take a cup of grape juice with you. You always have to bench Lakais. Like Kiddush and Abdullah, you can't bench Lakais. But the Rabbanan, they were sacking. Kiddush, Alakais, Abdullah, Alakais, Pechsabas, Alakais, even Likuva. Likuva, you mamash have to. And our minig is not that way. We assume they don't really. Once in a blue moon, we'll bench Lakais, but we don't really, really have to. So the Gemara says, why do we bench Lakais at the Seder? So the Gemara says, if you hold the Birch Zemozen to Nakais, so the fact that we bench Lakais is because it's like no different than any other Birch Zemozen. But if you hold the Birch Zemozen, ate it to Nakais, like we hold, so why do you bench Lakais? So the answer is, well, you have to drink Dalakaisis, because Kachti Kacham, whatever the Lashonis, whatever the reasons why, there are Chayris, you have to drink Dalakaisis. So why should you have the third coast in the middle of the meal? Have I mentioned now? At least Chachu get a mitzvah also. So therefore, Chazal said, "Im farasfa, you have to drink Dalakaisis. Do each one, do a mitzvah each kais. So you do Kiddush, you do the Haggadah, you do Bichsamaz, you do Halal. But Meika, 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 you don't really have to bench Dalakaisis at the Seder either. So what does somebody Shadim say? Mishabur comes up with a chap and he says, if you would hold that you have to bench Lakais, Likuva, you can't bench even on Tuesdays, pizza lunch, you have to have a Kais in the Ayin. So then, if a person is going to be forced to eat a Norfolk Kaima with a new benching, he's going to be forced to be Mishabur Lakais, so we don't do that. But we who paskin that you don't really have to bench Lakais, we have a better Eitzah. What's the Eitzah? Eat after coming again, bench and what? And don't bench Lakais. I give out. You don't have four coins. I have four coins. I had the other coins. I had a coins 20 minutes ago. So Mishnah Berurah says that's not the best answer for us. Why should we rely on this Taisus? Taisus says, Mishnah Berurah says, no. It's a good idea. Do you have to? Could be the evidence you can rely on Taisus. But there's nothing wrong. Forget that. Which some Mishnah said, it's us. So you're not allowed to bench. I'm not allowed to come because you're going to necessitate a fourth, a fifth coins. For us, that's not such a big problem. So that's probably the best answer for this guy.
Previously, that if you're doing like a mitzvah
lakosos,
you have to drink less of a
shear
than you would by
kalakosos. That's a
different
drink less of a shear of dalakosos,
and then you
wouldn't
be using dalakosos, but you would be
able to say, "Wow, what a lomdish of word." You should tell the guy that he should drink mod lugmov, not the revius. No, not rov rovakos. First of all, that whole rovakos story is a big thing. We shut Rav and the Rabbi. It's far from muskim anybody. You tell a guy, okay, make sure to have 1.7 ounces, not 1.8 ounces, because, you know, this guy's going to be, it's like a Rosh Hashanah, some of these shibas, and they eat before tkiyah shofar, so you want to be careful not to eat more than a kibetz, because that's supposed to have a suddis kevim, before tkiyahs, but you have to have a kezias in order to have kish b'chum suda. So remember, as you came after, they used to cut the piece of cake to size. You weren't allowed to have a second piece. You have to cut the size more than a kezias, less than a kibetz. So Noam's chumrah is you have to make another kois, but you have to make sure not that more than lugmuv, less than a rov kos, assuming that your kos is more than 3.2. So you can understand why Chazal did a one b'misakin that at that point. It's 12:30 at night. Like, yeah, go to sleep. Okay. Anyway, so the bottom line is we have really two different issues that are playing out in this tesis. So the ika part of our sugya is really what do you do if you remember you didn't have to come in before benching. You did your havav nevarich. So tesis claimed that that's the equivalent of tachta beish kavusa, which some Sharon weren't so sure that Moshe was right. And then agav that discussion, tesis raised the second issue. If you Lagamri missed the boat. You remember after benching, so Taisa says, no, Zolzain, you're relying on the other matzahs. So we're relying on the other matzahs, assuming those other matzahs were good. And relying on the other matzahs, even though you lost the din of Tam Matzah Mefiv, so Taisa apparently wasn't so worried about that. What that din was, so we weren't even sure what that din was, the Reshbam, the Taisa, the Balamor, the right, a lot of different possibilities, what that din was in the first place. But whatever it is, Taisa didn't lose too much sleep over it. And then we saw other Rishonim who went to Rav Yo, because one step further, Taisa says, no, forget, don't, it's a bad idea, don't bench, don't take it out of your coming, it's going to force you to have another coast. And the Mishnah Berurah backpedals and says, no, for us, that's not such a concern. So again, this is just a Shiran, we're supposed to start the Nusugi today, we didn't do that. So I'm supposed to talk for 5 minutes about, I just wanted to finish up this Taisa, but I just got just overwhelmed. So I hope everyone enjoyed a little bit about the criminals and the Emma. All right, I hope you guys can be real ready to roll for the Seder, okay? Good. Let's jump tomorrow. We'll start there. Guys, get started. Everybody say, Thursday, there's no Shiran.